Support for WOSU podcasts comes from listeners. You can give at WOSU.org. Thank you for supporting digital content from WOSU Public Media.
This podcast was recorded Thursday, February 11th at 9:37 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like Tom Brady will start wearing a mask when he's out in public now that he's won 7 Super Bowls.
He does wear a face mask, Mike.
Yes, he does.
That doesn't
seem it's effective.
Doesn't seem quite good enough. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters who take stands and also double stands. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up on the podcast, sure, now Republican lawmakers call out insults on Twitter.
But first, we have an official candidate for the U.S. Senate, former state treasurer, former U.S. Senate candidate, and former Ohio state lawmaker Josh Mandel is back. He wants to fill Rob Portman's seat when the senator leaves.
Watching this sham and unconstitutional impeachment process has really gotten my blood boiling. And I got to the point where I was just so angry what they're doing to President Trump that I decided I'm going to run for the U.S. Senate to go stand up for the Trump America First agenda.
Mandel also said, quote, in Washington, I will pulverize the Uniparty, that cobble of Democrats and Republicans who sound the same and stand for nothing, end quote.
You know, it doesn't sound like his blood's boiling. But anyway, that being said, Mandel has run for Senate twice before, losing to Sherrod Brown in 2012. He started to challenge Brown again in 2018, but dropped out before the primary. In between, he served 2 terms as Ohio's state treasurer.
So Mandel is the first official candidate, but the list of possible candidates remains pretty long. On the Republican side, Jane Timken looks like she's going to run. Last week, she quit the job she had just won again, the chair of the Ohio Republican Party. And she says she is considering a run, claiming she's the Donald Trump candidate. Mike, I guess that would be news to Josh Mandel.
Yes, they're going for the Trump vote. There are several Republican congressmen who are considering it. Steve Stivers, Brad Renstrup, Bill Johnson, Mike Turner. Author J.D. Vance's name is still out there. Former Congressman Jim Renacci is also a possibility, though based on his tweets the past week or so, he seems to be taking aim at a possible run for governor.
Josh Mandel really pushing all his chips in on the into the pro-Trump lane, if you will, right? All these, we used to say politicians love these lanes. He is solidly in the Trump lane, and he is trying very hard to edge anybody out of there.
It was incredible because as he is just fully embracing Donald Trump, literally, millions of Americans were watching the violent images of Trump supporters storming the Capitol, assaulting police officers, threatening members of Congress during the impeachment trial. It was literally almost a split screen on your television. Here's Josh Mandel saying the election likely was stolen, which is, of course, not true, embracing the full Trump effect as people are watching these images on TV. He just is betting that Ohio is still Trump territory, and he is all in on the Trump vote.
Yeah, it was pretty bizarre to be following Twitter and to be following the impeachment trial at the same time, because you are exactly right. As the impeachment managers are making a very compelling case, right? Even if you're pro-Trump, if you don't think what he did was enough for impeachment, they are making a great visual case at that moment. And then at that same moment, Josh Mandel takes to Twitter, talks about boiling blood, talks about how Trump is still a victim, how the election was stolen, which again is false, a ton of election fraud. It was astonishing to watch. It was really tone deaf, I think I would say. I think
This is Josh Mandel. He is aggressive. He is bold. Some might call it offensive, but this is the way he runs his campaign. He is all in, and he sparks controversy both within his own party and among others, moderates and Democrats. And this is just the type of candidate he is. And it may not be a bad strategy in the primary.
Yeah, I mean, Ohio is still a red state, right? At least when Trump's name is on the ballot. I mean, Mandel's basically trying to be a Trump surrogate at this point. Trump won Ohio by 8 points last year. You're right, it might not be a bad strategy. It doesn't mean it's rooted in fact, but it still might not be a bad strategy. One thing that could backfire would be Mandel going after a former beloved Ohio State football player. That's Anthony Gonzalez, now a Northern Ohio congressman, and someone who voted to impeach President Trump.
And I think we need to get people like him out of the Republican Party and out of elected office. And I'm going to be doing everything I can to support candidates who are going to go out there and beat Anthony Gonzalez.
Is Anthony Gonzalez really a big enough name to run against, Mike?
I think in the pro-Trump crowd, Anthony Gonzalez's name is now mud. He voted to impeach Donald Trump. And as popular as he is among Buckeye fans and as easily as he won that race and won re-election, if you're going after the pro-Trump voter in a primary, Anthony Gonzalez is maybe not enemy number one, but probably in the top five here in Ohio, because he voted to impeach the president. And that crosses a bright, bright, bright red line for Trump supporters. But yeah, we'll see if it backfires. Again, I think it helps him in the primary. If he gets to the general, does this hard line help him? As you said, Donald Trump won Ohio easily in 2020. So until the Trump vote disappears in Ohio, you can't say this is a bad strategy for a Republican.
Yeah, and Gonzalez won his seat by defeating a more strongly pro-Trump Republican, Christina Hagan, in the 2018 primary. So that's not the most gerrymandered district in Ohio, if you will, right? It's not the most Trump-friendly district. And obviously, when you're running for Congress, you only need to appease your district. You don't need to appease the entire state. I guess so. I mean, I guess maybe the Trump mob that was yelling at Mike Pence in all those videos are yelling at Anthony Gonzalez today. I think maybe he's the new enemy. I don't know.
They did at the state house. There were you know, sort of, you know, defeat Anthony Gonzalez signs right after the impeachment vote or actually it might have been the certification vote. I forget when it was, but there were pro-Trump supporters with anti-Anthony Gonzalez signs at the state house. And what will be interesting to watch is Jame Timken. It looks like she's going to run. I mean, she doesn't quit that job unless she's going to run. She wants to be the pro-Trump candidate. She actually has some merit behind her pro-Trump status, and she helped Donald Trump win Ohio in 2020, won easily. So she can claim that I'm the person who helped Donald Trump win Ohio in this last election. And it's going to be interesting who wins there. I mean, who gets the pro-Trump vote? Is it Jane Timken? Is it Josh Mandel? Does this mean Bill Johnson does not get in the race? He's another one who voted not to certify the election, wants to be on the pro-Trump side. Is there room for him in this race? It'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, again, they're both very lucky, I would say, that Jim Jordan is not running, because I said that I thought this was Jim Jordan's seat to lose. I thought that he has the star power, I think, among the pro-Trump crowd. I think he would easily take this seat over Jane Timken and over Josh Mandel. The most interesting part, I think, here is in the wake of the Capitol insurrection, in the wake of this impeachment trial, how does the electorate in the GOP shift? And then who jumps in that moderate Republican lane, maybe even if just moderate in appearance only, like Rob Portman had his whole time in the Senate? I mean, is it a Steve Stivers? Is it a Brad Rinstrup? Is it a J.D. Vance? Who can try to be the anti-Trump Republican, if you will, in the 2022 Senate race?
Yeah, I'm not sure anyone's going to be anti-Trump, but they're going to be sort of, you know, arm's length from
Trump. Distancing themselves.
You're not going to win if you're anti-Trump, I'll say that. But if you can be like Rob Portman and sort of not offend terribly the Trump supporters, I'm not sure how you do that without being fully Donald Trump if you're a Republican. Look at Mike Pence. You know, he's defended Donald Trump all the way until the very end. And now they were calling for his hanging at the Capitol. But I think, you know, and if there are two pro-Trump candidates in the primary, they make it all the way to the primary, then that splits the vote, perhaps. So maybe a more establishment candidate, if there's just one, a person like Steve Stivers or Brad Renstrup, can get in with just maybe 35-40% of the vote in a primary, if it's a three-way primary.
Can Josh Mandel raise the money? He has a good head start on funding. He has nearly $4.5 million in his campaign account. Do you think he's in it for the long haul monetarily?
He could raise money. Now, he started his campaign. His wife's family had a lot of money. Now, he's divorced from his wife. They say it's amicable. We'll see if the fact that he's no longer married to a wealthy family affects him at all. But he's got $4.5 million, as you said, in the bank. He's not going to have a problem raising money. He's won statewide twice. He's run statewide four times. He'll be able to raise money. Jane Timken's family is very wealthy. Timken Steel, the steel company up in Northeast Ohio. Money will not be a factor for her either personal money or also as the head of the Republican Party. She's raised money there. She's developed a lot of goodwill among Republicans around the state. She won't have a problem raising money either. Steve Stivers has $1 million in the bank right now, just over $1 million. You know, he's probably the strongest of the establishment Republicans should he decide to run. But again, he would have to give up a fairly safe congressional district. Does he do that to run for Senate?
Yeah, he's a pretty popular guy. He has a high likability rating. He's a general in the Army National Guard. He chaired the National Republican Congressional Committee for the 2018 election. He's very well known in Republican circles. He doesn't have quite the name recognition in his home central Ohio. He's not a political rock star, if you will, but he's a very well-respected, well-known guy. I don't know if Trump supporters would go for that. I don't know what he brings to the pro Trump crowd. I guess it would be my only concern about Steve Stivers.
No, he would be the establishment candidate, the candidate that the Rob Portman supporters, the Mike DeWine supporters would support in the primary. The more establishment, more reasonable, I wouldn't say moderate because he's a pretty conservative guy, mm-hmm. conservative voting record, but a more reasonable Republican. That would be the appeal there.
On the Democratic side, still no official candidates, but like Jane Timken, Dr. Amy Acton has quit a pretty good job to, as she says, consider a run for the Senate. A lot of Democrats want the former Ohio Health Director to run. Also, Congressman Tim Ryan, Dayton Mayor Nan Whaley, former Ohio Democratic Chair David Pepper, former congressional candidate Danny O'Connor, and Ohio House Minority Leader Amelia Sykes.
Yeah, it's still a wide open field on the Democratic side. It looks like Amy Acton is going to run, and that's who Josh Mandel has his eye on.
And let me tell you something. Amy Acton, what she did in shutting down the state, she should be ashamed of herself. Completely ashamed of herself.
Ashamed of herself, Mike. We should say...
That meat is really red.
That is.
He was throwing out yesterday.
We should say that all the Mandel audio we have is from an interview with Ohio Public Radio's Karen Kassler. So thanks to her for that audio. When you start naming people by name, the writing is on the wall at that point. I mean, Amy Acton, we know she's considering a run, but he has his eye set on her.
Yeah, even if... I mean, she is the target that the pro... Trump anti-mask crowd hates because she, you know, recommended and the governor agreed. Don't forget, Governor DeWine, she didn't go rogue on Governor DeWine, but they shut down the economy, economy last spring at the very start of the pandemic. And a lot of people, hell, they protested at her house. They didn't like it. So she's an easy target and an easy cast of red meat for Josh Mandel. Whether she runs or not, I don't know. I mean, that's what she's going to face when she runs, and that's going to be a different world for her. And she's obviously very smart, very accomplished, and we have not seen that side of her. She was always the empathetic, kind voice during those early news conferences that the governor had every day. She took on a mission of spreading kindness here at the Columbus Foundation in Central Ohio. You're not going to be quite as kind, I don't think, when you're in a heated Senate campaign. We'll see. We'll have to see that side of her.
Yeah, I don't think you can be. Ideally, you can be, right? But I don't know if when the rubber meets the road, if you can really be kind to Josh Mandel when he's saying before you even announce your candidacy that you should, quote, be ashamed of yourself. Also, Tim Ryan, the Northeast Ohio congressman, at least 50-50 he runs. Probably his district may be in jeopardy with redistricting. There's some thought that he's using a potential Senate bid to save his district. If he looks like a strong candidate to win the Senate seat, Republicans at the State House will have to carve out another safe congressional district for him, convincing him to stay in the House. Do you think there's anything to that?
I think there's something to that. There's all these things at play here. And, you know, Tim Ryan, again, faces that same dilemma that a Steve Stivers faces. That if he has a safe district and they have built up seniority in the House, which is key to power and influence in the U.S. House, is the number of years you've been there. It might be like, that's why Jim Jordan is staying in the House. He's got a safe district. He's built up seniority. He's moving up in the leadership ranks. Tim Ryan went for leadership before. He may be in line for leadership again in the House when Nancy Pelosi steps aside and the new team comes in. So it's not a guarantee. And he's toyed with statewide runs before and always said no. But if he loses his district, I think he definitely runs. If his district remains safe, then I'm more skeptical.
Nan Whaley, also a former governor, a former candidate for governor, she ran in 2018. She has decent name ID, very smart person. She, like I said, she's ran statewide before, got a lot of attention for her actions after the Dayton mass shooting of 2019. I would think she's more keen to run for governor. I have no reason to say that. I have no inside sources or anything. I think. But I don't know. I guess I don't know. There's no other Democrats who have announced, but with Amy Acton eyeing that run for Senate, I would think that Nan Whaley would be better off running for governor.
Wouldn't that be an interesting slate of candidates if Nan Whaley was Mike DeWine's challenger and Amy Acton was running for the U.S. Senate seat? That'd be two women at the top of the Democratic ticket. That'd be a pretty interesting general election to watch in 2020. 2022, rather. Sorry.
Some other candidates who, as we said, might still run: David Pepper, Amelia Sykes, Nina Turner. She would be fun to cover. She's a really fun interview. She's been on this program before. She was a former Ohio House lawmaker, our former state senator, former Bernie Sanders surrogate. She ran his Ohio campaign. I don't know. She's probably making a wise choice to run for an open congressional seat. It would be tough for a Bernie Sanders type Democrat to win statewide in Ohio, but she is really fun to cover.
Yeah, she has the name ID, but I think you're right. I don't see her progressive politics working in Ohio really at all right now.
Anyway, let's move on now to our Snollygoster of the Week award. We dole it out every week to the week's shrewdest political move or politician. This week, President Biden's choice of White House budget director went before a Senate committee meeting for her confirmation hearing. Neera Tanden is a longtime supporter of Hillary Clinton and outspoken liberal activist. She spent the past 4 years harshly criticizing President Trump and Republicans on cable TV and on social media.
Now, when it was her time to ask the senators to give her a new job, she had to face the music. Senator Rob Portman called out Tanden for her tweets.
You wrote that Susan Collins is, quote, the worst, that Tom Cotton is a fraud, that vampires have more heart than Ted Cruz. You called Leader McConnell Moscow Mitch and Voldemort, and on. I wonder, specifically, how do you plan to mend fences and build relationships with members of Congress you have attacked through your public statements?
Mike, I can't help but think of the Jimmy Kimmel segment where people read mean tweets about themselves. That is what Rob Portman sounds like. Anyway, Portman was not alone in his criticism. It was a bipartisan pile-on. Bernie Sanders slammed Tanden for her tweets attacking progressives. Tanden later apologized for those tweets, and as we often hear in politics, Mike, she deeply regrets them.
Yes, she did. But, you know, I have to give her credit. She apologized. But so now, let me get this straight. Now, Rob Portman and other lawmakers, Republican lawmakers, were offended by those harsh tweets. But in 2017, he told reporters not to focus on what President Trump tweets, but what he does. I mean, do they not
it's
see?
It's
it's beyond. It's.
And then, and then as you can imagine, Twitter was quick to just completely roast Rob Portman, appropriately so, because politics aside, that is just bald-faced hypocrisy. I mean, that
have you seen the New York Times a week or so ago compiled the list of Donald Trump's insults?
Yeah, I did.
It goes on forever.
It's the tiniest font you've ever seen, and it's an entire page. I mean, it said,
here's something. He called Bernie Sanders crazy and a Castro lover. He called Senator Tim Kaine a total stiff, Senator Ben Sasse, Little Ben, as well as stupid and obnoxious.
Rob Portman not denouncing those tweets, though. For some reason, Mike, I'm not sure why.
Yes. And he doesn't have to run again either. Whatever. But so anyway, to Rob Portman for having two standards, one for Neera Tanden and one for President Trump. And let's not forget Neera Tanden now. While certainly not as prolific as the president, was forced to answer for her overly harsh rhetoric the past few years. So for that, both of them are co-winners of our Snollygoster of the Week Award.
We will give her credit for apologizing. Also give credit to Bernie Sanders for calling out a fellow liberal, not something that politicians are often keen on doing these days. That will do it for this week's episode of Snollygoster. If you have a recommendation for next week's Snollygoster of the Week, you can send it to snollygoster@wosu.org. And as always, tell your friends about us. Be sure to leave us a good review on iTunes. Subscribe. Get those subscriptions up. And for our audio producer, Eric French, our student producer, Jack Long, and our web producer, Michael DeVonis, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.